because you can handle the truth.
What we should do is issue currency debt-free and base it on time unit of value, as Ithaca, New York has done for 20 years. It's something that we can do tomorrow. We don't have to wait for a vote. We don't have to wait for our kings. We don't have to be damn slaves anymore. Anymore. Do you hear me? This is the silver bullet to destroy the parasitic systems which have robbed us of our souls, which have robbed us of our will to resist. But I think it's time for the Republic to fight back. Right here, right now.
Right here, right now. You're listening to Mountain Hours Evolution Radio. I am your host, Wayne Walton. We come to you, as always, weekdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And we focus specifically on monetary solutions, specifically local currencies, because we can put those into effect without waiting for the vote or permission from the corrupt. We can implement these systems. We can experiment with them. We can create different recipes for them. And with all of them, ideally, we create them without debt and without interest, and distribute them to the people, because the currency itself is not the value. The people are the value. They are the gold. Their goods and services are the real value, and the currency simply is a unit of value to measure their value. So we have a very special guest today. That is Byron Dale, and I think most people would recognize him primarily from The Secrets of Oz. That's where I know him from. And he's a monetary reform activist in Minnesota. And I had been following his work for probably about 4 or 5 years now. And once I woke up to the Rothschild's international gold standard as being a false solution. So we are very excited to have him on. We're going to be discussing a host of topics, including like why gold and silver is a non-solution. It's not the path to abundance. It's a path to scarcity. And what is the proper solution, and how we can implement these plans. And you know, one of the big things that was advocated by Secrets of Oz is a Bank of North Dakota, and to model similar systems across the country. And again, that's just one of those things we have to go through the government to do something like that. And they are all paid with Federal Reserve notes. So they're not looking especially to do something that's going to threaten their monopoly on power. So it's a conflict of interest when everybody is corrupted by that dominant centralized monetary system. So that is good news. We also have our design complete for Mile High Hours. The backside of the currency is complete, and you can find them if you go to milehighhours.com or on Facebook for Mile High Hours. And you can see the design for the back. They're pretty interesting looking, and we're getting really good feedback from the people in Denver and across the country that they really like the design. It's really unique that what we've got going with that particular local currency. And it's great to get good feedback, because with art, you know, people like different kinds of music, people like different kinds of art. So when you get good feedback, it makes you feel good, because you don't necessarily know what the response is going to be like. So we'll be right back.
never thought I would experience what I have by being on the RNA drops. Since I started the drops, I've gotten married, started three businesses, and feel limitless. My name is Brandon, and I've always been a skeptic because one of my companies is an investment firm, so we look at the facts. I was presented a bottle of RNA drops without any documentation in 2010 and began taking them due to highly reliable sources and their recommendations, and things quickly progressed. My life seemed brighter, and then one day it happened. I was working in my office on a sunny morning, and my spiritual body did a 360-degree backflip and softly landed back in my chair. And that was the day it began. That was my bread of life. To view this patented product, go to freeRNANow.com. That's freeRNANow.com and begin your ascension process. God bless.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Support righteous men. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me, please understand.
Thank you for tuning in to Mountain Hours Evolution Radio. We have a very special guest this hour. That is Byron Dale. And Byron, are you there?
I am, and glad to be here.
Outstanding. I appreciate you making some time to be on our show. And basically, let's talk about the monetary system and let's get into your background. What is it that spurred your soul into resistance against the corrupt monetary system? How did you wake up?
Well, I used to have a ranch in South Dakota, and it became very obvious it was something was wrong. I mean, you know, you can't have this many people and all their neighbors producing wealth, and yet the debt clock constantly gets bigger. And why does the people have to produce the wealth? How come they have to go to a bank and borrow money and get a line of credit to operate every year when they don't seem to produce anything at all? But the man who's really producing real wealth from the ground every year is the one that has to do the borrowing from the man who doesn't seem to produce anything. And I thought this was all kind of curious, and I began to get interested in it, and I went to a management meeting in Denver, and You know, that's back when they raised the interest from 9 to about 18.5 to 20, you know, some percent. And it was there we were studying actual financial papers kept by the management firm and the farmers, operators, ranchers that they worked with. And we went through it. It was really interesting. I learned a lot. But it was also interesting that every one of them was getting a little deeper in debt. Now, some of them was getting more assets than the others, but every one of them was a little deeper in debt. So I asked the speaker, I said, well, I don't understand. Why? Where's all this money come from? And he said, well, they just printed. It's just money. They just printed. And I said, well, I think that's probably true. But if that's the case, who gets the interest off the printing press? And he said, nobody. And I said, well, that can't be true, because if we're all borrowing it and pay interest on it, and we all are, then somebody has to get it. And he just got the most funny look on his face, like he'd never thought of such a thing in his life. And he stumbled and bumbled, and pretty quick he looked across the room to somebody else and said, what do you want? And what was your question? And just like that, as far as he's concerned, I disappeared off the face of the earth. And that's kind of what prompted me into studying it. And on the way out of the meeting room, something bumped me, and I turned around and to see what it was. Just, you know, it wasn't a big bump. And a lady looked at me and said, you need to look into the Federal Reserve System. Well, I didn't really have time then, and so I went home, and my wife and I did a lot of studying, a lot of work, and contacted the management firm until we understood how to implement everything that was taught. And then it began to be very obvious that, you know, this thing is just getting, you know, the debt's growing, and there's got to be more to it. And so I went to study in this, and my oldest son had just graduated from high school, and I was asking him questions to see if he'd learned anything I hadn't in school, and he hadn't. And one day he said, Dad, we just don't have time to do all this, and we got too much work to do, and a lot of hay to put up, a lot of feed, and a lot of things to do, and we don't have time. You stand around and ask me questions I don't know the answer to, but I tell you, it's clearly you're really, really concerned about this, and you're really interested in it. And so I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. If you promise not to ask me any more questions, ever, I'll run the whole entire 5,000-acre ranch for the summer, and you'll have 3 months to study, and then I'm going to go to college. And I said, are you sure? And he said, absolutely. And I said, son, you just made yourself a deal. And I turned around, went in the house, and started calling the library and getting books. And I read them and called everybody I ever heard about and contacted anybody that I thought knew anything. And I began to get it and understand it. And one night I said to my son, I want you guys to come in a little early tonight, because I had an older boy and a younger boy. And I want to play a little game with you, you know, right after supper. You know, we'll have a little early supper, and we'll get to it before it gets terrible late. And they agreed, and so when we sat down, you know, we're going to do kind of just like a miniature economy here. And the son said he'd be the banker, and it wasn't long. You know, we traded things around and bought and sold, but we always borrowed all the money from him. And pretty quick, he owned everything, and all of us didn't have anything but a lot of debt. And it was pretty plain to me that, you know, this was a totally unworkable system. And so then I was studying and reading some more and, you know, constantly trying to understand it and contact people. And I said to my wife, I said, I wonder what would happen if we wrote to the Treasury and asked some of these questions. And she said, I don't know. Well, I know it was to try it. So I didn't learn it. Typed till I was 49 years old, and so she sat down and typed up a letter to him, 13 questions, and we sent it off, and the main questions was, how is money created, and things like that, and Russell Monk, the General Counsel of the United States Treasury, wrote me back a nine-page letter, signed it and everything, and he said in it, the actual creation of money always involves the extension of credit by private commercial banks. And so I wrote back and I said, well, if I think that's probably true, but if money is all created as a bookkeeping entry and loaned into circulation, where does the money come from to pay the interest on the money we borrowed? And he wrote back and said, well, that money comes from the same place the other money comes from. In other words, you got to borrow that too. Well, there's no way the man can borrow himself out of debt. That's a physically and monetarily and everything else impossibility. And so that's when I began to, you know, get quite active. And I made a lot of stink and a lot of press. And I lived at that time in Timberlake, South Dakota, which is about as far out in the middle of no place you can get. But I made so much press, I even had a TV crew fly from Chicago interview me. And a couple of years ago, I ran into a woman that lived in New Hampshire at that time, which is about as far away as South Dakota as you can get. And she said she remembered about hearing me on the news after she'd heard me speak. And then a month or so now, I ran into a guy that was happened to stumble in and meet a former governor of South Dakota, Bill Janklow. And somehow the money, the subject of money came up, and he got all excited and waving his arms, and he said, yeah, that guy up there at Timberlake, he just made so much stink. I finally had some people send the people up there and shut him up. And he did. He sent 42 cops out, and they come in my house and beat me over the head with a 32-ounce ketchup bottle full of ketchup, and knocked me down, beat me up on the floor until I was in the hospital for a week. And so, and I've been working on this ever since. Not 100%, but all that spare time I have, and studying it and thinking about it and doing what we can to make positive change.
Can you get over that again? So the police actually came out to your house just because you were talking about monetary reform?
Well, that was the biggest part of it. That's what he said. You know, I just had to go shut him up. And, of course, I'd gotten to dispute with my lenders because South Dakota law at that time said that you can pay in goods. So I made out a promissory note payable in my goods, you know, that I raised on the ranch. And I took it to a lawyer, and I asked him if that was a legal negotiable instrument. And he said, yes, it was. I said, are you sure? And he said, absolutely. So I called the state's attorney in the local town and asked him what was legal tender in the state of South Dakota. And he said anything was a legal negotiable instrument was legal tender in South Dakota. It could be used for payment. So I sent that to my lenders, and, oh, my God, they got excited. In less than 10 days, they'd foreclosed on me, and I'd never missed a payment in my life. I'd never was behind a payment, and I didn't even owe one.
Wow.
And so apparently it upset a lot bigger something that I wanted to. And, of course, about that same time, Janklow was governor at that time, and he was working hard to arrange it so all the big banks, city banks and all them, could come into South Dakota and set up credit card companies without hardly any regulations or any taxes. So I imagine that that upset them pretty good when they had somebody raising as much talk and being on the radio and stuff. I had a hard time getting anybody to cover the story, and finally I said to Tina Halverson, who at that time was a reporter with United Press, down in Sioux Falls, and she wouldn't do anything, and we talked back and forth, and I said, what do I have to do, threaten to shoot somebody before you cover the story? And she said, oh, Byron, don't say anything like that. My phone's probably tapped. And I never could understand why in America you'd worry about your phone being tapped, especially a reporter that was out, you know, just working and reporting the news. But anyway, the next day, front page of Sioux Falls Argus Leader, which is the biggest paper in South Dakota, came out with a half of the front page devoted just to me and articles about me and hinting that I might shoot somebody if they tried to come out and take my property. And after that, I was big-time news.
Oh, that's interesting.
I've talked on the phone 12 hours a day and never made a phone call.
Well, that's good press. You got your story out.
It's not quite the way to do it, but...
We're almost at a break here, and I wanted to ask if, after the break, if you could, basically, there's a cowpokes story that I've heard you tell about how interest is a scheme whereby which it creates defaults, and that,
okay.
You know, it talks about how you go into a local, whatever, a casino, and the cowpokes put their guns up, and they lose their guns because of interest.
Uh-huh.
We will be right back with Byron Dale. Embrace instead of grace.
looking for permanent enslavement. Interest is the whip they use to hit us.
The people are the money. Money is energy transfer technology, which is better than barter. Let's go back to basics to determine what money is. Before money, the people barter their services and products. A perfect barter system is one in which the participants can provide everything they need to sustain life. With this system, they are sovereign and independent. Imagine there are 25 businesses in this perfect barter system. They could get what they needed without Federal Reserve notes and sustain life. The problem with barter is that you need to find a person to have a direct trade with at a precise time. What if each business in the barter network created a $100 gift certificate out of thin air? The barter network could then trade gift certificates as a form of money without having to find a direct part. Paper money does not counterfeit. People counterfeit. Summit County Currency Cooperative is an honest issuer that keeps the quantity of money equal to the capacity of the producers in the network. Don't fall for the Rothschild's gold money disinformation. The elite control gold and silver, and the people will have to borrow it from them with usury. The people are the gold and can create money which makes them sovereign and independent from the parasitic usurers. MountainHours.com. Money is a form of energy transfer technology which can be used for good or evil. Currently, it is evil because 1. It is based on a debt with interest which is mathematically unsustainable and results in exponentially compounding debt. 2. The money power is stolen by the parasites and spent by them first instead of the producer. 3. The parasites control its distribution in a top-down system. The currency then flows in economic circuits which support the values of the oligarchy. 4. The parasite purposely expands and contracts the supply to engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty. Solution? Usury-free local currency energy transfer technology permits the people to harness their own commercial energy. Only then are they sovereign to finance projects which support their values in a sustainable manner. No longer are the people in a condition whereby they are a dog which begs its own fleas for some of its own blood back. MountainHours.com.
Hello, I'm Joby Weeks from Breckenridge, Colorado. What are Mountain Hours? It's organic money that we've been using in Summit County, Colorado. That's right, you heard me correctly, organic money. How can Mountain Hours benefit you? Mountain Hours expand the local money supply and keep the money in the community. Mountain Hours promote and expand local shopping with an endless multiplier. Mountain Hours almost doubles the local minimum wage to $10, benefiting not only workers but businesses as well, who find new and loyal customers. Mountain Hours enables shoppers to afford premium prices for locally crafted goods and for locally grown organic food. Mountain Hours helps start new businesses and creates jobs. It reduces dependence on imports and transportation fuels. Mountain Hours will make grants to nonprofit community organizations and zero interest loans. Mountain Hours stimulate community pride and help everyone become more prosperous.
Join the Mountain Hours revolution.
What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
That was former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan indicating that they are the sovereigns since the government has no authority over actions that they take. Byron, how does that make you feel when you hear Alan Greenspan say such things?
Well, you're just telling the truth, which is strange. They mostly don't, but he did. In the same way that Bernanke told the truth when Ron Paul had him up there and was grilling him, and he said, "You guys are printed and spent so much money," and he said, "We don't spend it, we lend it." And that's exactly the truth. And see, this is what the people don't get, because they think there's money out there and they just got to work hard and get it. And the truth of it is, the money's created by the banks as an IOU on them, and then loan it to you, and you have to sign an IOU to get it. And they don't print any money and spend it. They don't create any money and spend it. Most of them, and at least not that they acknowledge, they might do that behind the scenes. I have no way of proving things that I have any way to get into, but I have a letter from the from the Library of Congress that says there is no such thing as debt-free money in American law. So they may do some of that money creation and spending, you know, among themselves and things like that, but in American law, there is no such thing as debt-free money. And, of course, that's easy to see, because if it wasn't that way, we wouldn't have this tremendous debt. the Federal Reserve on their board, on their website, says that the total money supply is a little over $8 trillion the last time I looked, and the total debt is over $57 trillion. So if the government even paid down half of its $16 trillion debt, it would destroy the entire money supply, and we'd still have 40-some trillion dollars in debt hanging around out here. And the truth of the matter is that both the private sector, you know, just regular people, and the business sector, both sectors owe more money than the federal government does, and you never hear that anyplace, do you?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. So over and above the national debt, the people and their businesses have debt that exceeds what we hear as being...
both of them. Both sectors have more debt than the federal government does. And then that's not saying anything about the state government debt and the school board's debt and all the other debts that's out there, all the city debts and all that other stuff is out there, too. And see, that can only have that much debt from all those sources if all money's created as debt. Because, you know, and see, we'll get back to the story you wanted to tell, because I actually went through this in court. I, you know, of course, at first I was a little shook up by them courts, because they didn't exactly operate like anything I imagined. But I learned how to call up my own motion, and I got it in there, and I explained to them what I was really trying to get at. I went through the letters from the Treasury and explained how they said all money is created as loans and at interest, and then, of course, you had to borrow more money. Or later on, John Yetter said that the money that one borrower uses to pay the interest comes from somebody else's loan. And so I went through this, and I said to the judge, I mean, if we had, let me explain it, if we had 10 cowboys or 10 guys, you know, come in here and wanted to play a game of poker, and each one borrowed $100, we could play a good game of poker, couldn't we? And him and the lawyer against me both said yes. And I said, now, you know, and then, of course, when they went to leave at 10% interest, each one of them would have to give 11 chips back for the 10 they borrowed. And I guess what I said, if 10 men to borrow 10 chips, then we'd have 100 chips, and with 100 chips, we could have 10 men could have a good game of poker, and they all agreed. And so I said, now, that, of course, is physically and monetarily impossible, and therefore, these loans are physically and monetarily impossible because, and repugnant to the nature for which the contract that we got into, you know, to get the money, because the concept of that was to help us do better in our business, not rob us from everything. And so I explained all that, and I said, now this is both not only impossible, but repugnant to the nature of the contract. And the law clearly is that any contract that's impossible or repugnant to the nature of the contract is created for is a void and unenforceable contract. And the lawyer on the other side, he just turned white as a sheet. I mean, all color left him. And it just looked like his blood all run under the floor and up to the judge and into his face, and he just got as red as I've ever seen anybody get red. And they hemmed and hawed, and they said, well, we'll just have to take this under advisement and get back to you later. And that was in the hearing. And the next thing I knew, they started having hearings without notifying me and contacted the governor of South Dakota and set up that they would come and take everything I had on a certain day. And I didn't even know they would, they issued a judgment that I didn't know existed. And the law said that if a man gets a judgment against me, he has 30 days before he can do anything, because he has the right to, you know, to see if he can sell the property or do anything else to raise the money after he gets the judgment. Well, the judgment was made late at night and flew out to the judge and back from I don't know where. I suppose the lawyer and the governor's men was all together. They planned this whole thing in the governor's conference room, so... And then the judge signed it, and then the next morning they executed it pretty early in the morning.
Well, we've got a break. We'll be right back with Byron Dale.
You dig what I'm saying? Now, if you take heed to the words of wisdom that are written on the walls of life, then universally we will stand, and divided we will fall, because love...
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
The Bible recommends a universal debt jubilee for societies which have been enslaved by usury. Usury, interest, or reba is a mathematic fraud which always creates victims in a game of musical chairs where there is far more debt than there is money to pay it. A contract based on usury, interest, or reba is void, as it is impossible for all borrowers to pay. The parasitic usurers can engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. Universal debt jubilee via organic money to hire the sheriff to stop enforcing the parasitic usurers' liens. Let's create a real-life miracle in 2012. It's time for the jubilee. It's constitutional, biblical, moral, ethical, spiritual, and possible. Hope, joy, and abundance in 2012. Pass on the good news. This has been a public service announcement from K-Rock, the Truth Hammer, and Mountain Hours. Are you a keeper or abolitionist of usury? This is the true debate between debt slaves, which will lead to their emancipation. The parasitic usurers have created many Hegelian dialects, which they remain in control no matter who wins. Example, Coke or Pepsi, Democrat or Republican, progressive or conservative. Here's a good one, gold money or worthless fiat paper. The parasitic usurer can enslave the people on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. The parasitic usurer can dominate societies with big government, small government, or even no government. The people can have abundance this year once they realize that usury is the original sin of the world's monetary and economic problems. The real debate is, are you a keeper or abolitionist of the mathematic fraud of usury-based money creation and lending? The emancipation of global debt slaves is the human rights cause of all time. Jubilee 2012 via MountainHours.com. The people are the money. Money is energy transfer technology, which is better than barter. Let's go back to basics to determine what money is. Before money, the people barter their services and products. A perfect barter system is one in which the participants can provide everything they need to sustain life. With this system, they are sovereign and independent. Imagine there are 25 businesses in this perfect barter system. They could get what they needed without Federal Reserve notes and sustain life. The problem with barter is that you need to find a person to have a direct trade with at a precise time. What if each business in the barter network created a $100 gift certificate out of thin air? The barter network could then trade gift certificates as a form of money without having to find a direct part. Paper money does not counterfeit, people counterfeit. Summit County Currency Cooperative is an honest issuer that keeps the quantity of money equal to the capacity of the producers in the network. Don't fall for the Rothschild's gold money disinformation. The elite control gold and silver, and the people will have to borrow it from them with usury. The people are the gold and can create money which makes them sovereign and independent from the parasitic usurers.
We go our own way when we shine the light. We go our own way because we know it's right. Blessings be for the people in the good fight. Hold on, cause it's gonna be using the political and spiritual, melodic to the lyrical, explicit and satirical, but utterly sincere for you. We give it away like the Chili Peppers did, and the Funky Monks are here to repeal the deficit. Yeah, it could be good if the people would come together, organize the streets in the hood. It's not a ghetto thing, yo, we're not gangsters. Those are devils from the Wall Street banks.
Indeed, the Wall Street banksters are the representatives of Mammon and their fraudulent scheme, where they have contracts based upon a mathematic fraud called interest, reba, or usury. And Byron, I was I always like to use that example that you made, because that's like so much of what we talk about in monetary explanations. It goes over people's heads. But a simple explanation of the poker game with 10 cowboys each getting a $100 only at 1%, and then having to put their cowpoke, so they put their guns up as collateral.
And it really don't make any difference whether it's 1%, 10%, or 1/10 to 1%, or 1/10 to 100%, because in all debt money system, there is no way to create money to pay the interest. The only way any man can get out of debt is to shift the debt to somebody else. And that's clearly so, I mean, it's just wrong. I mean, it's actually slavery, because you have monetary slavery is what we have in this country, which, of course, is totally prohibited by the Constitution, you know, not by the Constitution, but people's rights to be free. And that's what the Constitution was written for, to uphold those rights. The Constitution sure. didn't grant any rights, didn't give any rights, but it was written to make sure that the rights of the people was upheld. And, of course, our government and our banking system, which totally controls our government. I mean, let's think about it. If you're somebody running for office every 2 or 4 years and not that takes a ton of money, and you're constantly looking for somebody who's got money, and I can create my own money by the stroke of a pen or the click of a computer. Well, now, which one do you think is going to control the other one? Do you think the congressman's going to control me, or that I'm going to control him?
Right,
very obviously what the deal is, and this is what upsets me so about the Mises and how corrupt they are, because their whole school of economics is based on lies, because they always blame the government and never the banks. But clearly, you know, and I'm not saying government's good, you know, are the people we have in government is not, they're not good people, most of them, but that's neither here nor there. The real power comes from the power of owning all the money all the time. It's not from passing the laws, because I can't remember now the chairman of the Fed that you just mentioned a time ago.
Alan Greenspan?
Yeah, Alan Greenspan clearly said, you know, they don't have any control over us. But they obviously have control over Congress and us, because they control the money. They control who gets it and who doesn't get it, and they control how much people's got to tax. I had a court case one time with a rural electric company, and they openly said from the stand in that lawsuit that they was monitored all the time and told how much they needed to charge, and that, so that they could make sure that they made their interest payments. And so, I mean, that very statement alone proves who's really in control. And, of course, you've got all these people screaming about government people, and don't get me wrong, I don't think they're worth a cussing, or they wouldn't be bought off so easy. But, you know, people who want power gravitate to places where they get power, and that's why they get into politics. And the problem is that good people can't get into politics because, first place, they normally have a stand for something, therefore they can't be everything to everybody all the time, so 50% of the population won't vote for them because they just don't like what they say, regardless of what they say. Where a good lying politician, he tells everybody when he's with them exactly what they want to hear. And they never stop to think, wait a minute, he's doing that to the same people on the other side. The people don't. And this is, you know, you see this all the time once you get onto it and once you understand it. And this is the problem we have. And then the Mises say you got to go to gold, and gold's the thing. And of course, I challenge anybody to ever tell me in the history of the world when gold was the only source of money. And it never has been, never could be, because the volume of gold is not enough for the population and the goods that they produce to be a medium exchange. And as you said somewhere in this show went on, that gold is really a tool for scarcity, not for having a good monetary, you know, exchange instrument. And I did the math on it, and if the United States had all the gold that was ever mined out in the world and had it all, which is impossible, and the coins, the dollar coin, was the same size that Roosevelt made it after he took the gold away from the people. In just 3.9 years, it would take all the gold to be shipped overseas just to pay for our trade deficit that we have right now. And then you wouldn't have any money. The only way you could get it back was to borrow it back, because they're not buying things from us enough to send it back to us. And people never stop and think about that. You know, the biggest problem that most people have, they can't think of a way to get this anything medium exchange into circulation in a fair and honest way that benefits everyone. And that's what I work on, because the United States Constitution says that Congress shall coin the money and provide for post roads. So if you created the money and paid for the post roads, you know, the roads, transportation system, which everybody has to have, because you can have commerce without money, we've proven that, but you can't have commerce without transportation. And that's the way money should be put in. Then you spend all the money in when people work and earn something that produces a value for every single person in the country. And we've worked on that bill to do that in Minnesota for 17 years now. And it's slow going. We've had 3 hearings, but every time we have a hearing, the bankers get really, really active. And it don't make any difference whether you do it with a local currency or any other kind, you know. People are going to, you know, as soon as you become very successful, the banker's going to come after you. But that really isn't the problem. The problem is that people don't want to be free. If they did, they could be free because they could control things. But they would rather sit back and do nothing. And most of them are so busy trying to make a living that they never stop to think. And then I just talked to today with a young girl that just got out of business school in college, from college, just graduated. And she's really interested in trying to get in the stock market and earn enough to, you know, to get out of her school student loans. And I asked her a few simple questions, you know, where money come from and how it worked, and made a statement, well, yeah, but you can't get out of debt yet until you put somebody else in debt. And she said, no, that's not true. See, because everybody believes this money just out there. You just got to work for it. They never once think where it comes from, and the colleges don't teach them. If they do, they say, well, yeah, banks create money, but they gloss over it. And are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And they don't really get the people, you know, anybody that goes to college never really understands how the monetary system works. And, of course, when you do that, then obviously you're throwing out into this dog-eat-dog monetary system and not a clue what you're doing and how it really works. And you're always chasing that carrot on the stick, you know. It's always right there just out of reach. But, man, if I just do a little harder, a little faster, or a little smarter, I'll get that carrot. But they never really do. And if they do capture enough money to somebody else to get out of personal debt, well, the debt still lives on because the only way that you can pay the interest on their debt is to have somebody else borrow some money. And then the principal is destroyed when the loan is repaid. The principal is created and spent it and loaned into circulation, and then when you take and spend your borrowed money, it goes in and moves in the whole economy. But when you capture some of that back and pay your loan off, the principal gets destroyed, but the interest lives on as somebody else's debt. You can't get rid of the debt. And over time, of course, interest always makes the debt grow, and it never makes the money supply grow. So every moment of the day, 24/7, the debt is getting greater than the money supply, because interest is the only thing that can run 24/7 and never has to be stopped to rest or oiled or anything else, repair parts or anything. And nobody can beat that. And that's what the people don't understand. And I'm on several things that, you know, people want to talk about money reform. And one of them was saying, well, we need to have some place that we can get some good, sound investments that we can gain without losing. I mean, you know, see, they, again, are so in love with getting a little bit of interest that they don't even understand that in the long run they're killing themselves. In my new book, I did the math on it. And if any one group or one person got a hold of 10% of the money supply, it'd only take them 25 years with compound interest, I think at 6%, to own the entire world money supply. So see, it's a totally unacceptable, unworkable system, even no matter who does it. And it's going to collapse someday, and I think that's why the Mises push the gold, because they're hoping, and I think the bankers are convinced that they'll get, hoping that when it does go, they convince the people to go to gold, and they'll think their salvation is there, but they'll own the gold, and then they'll just, even Vieira, who is a big shot in that movement, said, well, yeah, but really we couldn't use the gold, so we'd store it someplace and then just, you know, and just use the, you know, the value of the gold. And of course, they never say there's anything worth borrowing that gold or anything like that, and they never say there's anything wrong with the interest. So we would think we'd have it, and then we'd be getting a worse scarcity than we got now, and we couldn't pay our debts anyway. There wouldn't be enough gold, but yet we would actually get what we demanded. And of course, after we did, it's kind of like the story: be careful what you wish for, because you might not like it after you get it. And that's exactly what they're up to. And the Mises, of course, are the biggest pushers of that. And this silly notion that the problem is they just create too much money. And that's the first thing that this young girl said to me today. Well, yeah, but the problem is they just create too much money. And we was talking about government debt and debt. And I said, well, I don't know how. I don't think I ever got into debt by having too much money. It was always a shortage of money that you needed to you borrow money for. And I don't think anybody give up their home just because they had too much money. They didn't make their payment the mortgage, you know, the bank, because they had too much money. And, you know, the problem is, and of course, if your money is all debt, well, then obviously you have too much debt. That's obvious. But see, true money cannot be debt. Because money is supposed to be a medium exchange to exchange wealth with each other. Once you turn it into debt, you've got the keys of the kingdom. And of course, when the bankers realized, you know, and the goldsmith took it over and started loaning out, you know, 10 receipts for one receipt, you know, for 1 ounce of gold. Because, you know, the guy, according, that's what everybody says, how it got started. And, you know, some rich man was going to take a trip and he didn't want to take his gold because he didn't trust people. And so this goldsmith had a big vault. So he put it in there. And, of course, then he went out and realized that, my gosh, he saw something he wanted to buy. He didn't have the gold, but he talked to a guy and was taking his receipt. And, man, this is really handy. So people begin to do it and leave the gold there. And then the banker, of course, he thought, well, I can loan some of that gold. Nobody gets it anyway. Well, then he said, man, they might come. I can just loan receipts. And, oh, my gosh, that's a better deal anyway. Because if I loan the actual coin at 10% interest, according to the rule 72, it takes me 7.2 years to double my money. But if I loan 10 receipts for that same amount of gold at 10% interest, it takes me 8.6 months to double my money. Now, that's a pretty good racket. And all the time, they think they're using gold. I mean, this thing is such a hodgepodge of lies that they spread on us. It's unbelievable. And that was one of the things that I seem to be fortunate and seem to have a grasp of is when I started researching all this, and I'd call the state library in Pierre, and there were some good people down there, and I'd ask them about things, and they said, well, you have any authors or any books? And I said, heavens no, if I did, I wouldn't have called you. I just need to know what you can send me that I can learn these things. You know, I get my questions answered. And pretty soon, you know, when I called, they recognized my voice, and they said, oh, hi, Mr. Dale. Yeah, we kind of think we know what we're looking, you're looking, trying to find. We'll send you whatever we can. And I get several books, in, you know, in the mail in a few days. And of course, I didn't read them all word for word, but I seem to have the ability to scan them and understand what is real meat and what is just garbage. And pretty quick, it was obvious, and then when I wrote to the letter to the Treasury, and he laid it out in black and white, that all money is created by loans from the banks, and then when it comes time to pay it back, you have to get somebody else's borrowed money in order to pay it back, so you have to, in essence, borrow more money before you can get out of debt, and that's an impossibility. I mean, even the individuals who get out of debt only shove more debt onto somebody else, and of course, the more money the government borrows, the better it is for the people, which is just contrary to what they always say because they say, oh, that's bad because that dries up the money. No, that actually puts more money in the circulation for us to use without having to personally borrow because we owe it collectively through the government. And there's just hardly any truth taught in our schools about money in any sense of the word. I never learned any myself, and I never found anybody that did. And my son, oldest one, has a degree in economics and was a very bright student. In fact, he was the top kid in his class, I'm told. And he discussed this with his college professor because one day he told me that he just didn't see how I could be right and everybody wrong. And I said, well, son, I'll tell you what. You walk over to the kitchen sink and you fill up a glass of water. And if you can pour a glass and a half out of that glass, I'll say that I don't know anything about what I'm talking about and I'll shut up. And he said, Dad, you know that's not possible. I said, that's what makes me know I'm right. Because that's what you have to do, be able to do to make this system work. So then he went home back to college and he discussed this some with his professor. And he'd come back later and he said, it's clear he don't have a clue about how it really works. And, you know, there you go. You got people who don't know teaching other people things they don't know and aren't right. And I don't think it's all this is by accident. And part of it is just because people don't stop to think. Because think about it. I mean, this is the thing that I like to get people asking. I understand it, and I know a fact that the United States Printing Bureau runs a printing press down there and prints up currency. And I've been there, and I've seen that. Now, I haven't seen the mint work. I haven't been to the mint, but I know they have one. I know how it operates. They mint up coins. And they're pretty jealous. They put a guy in jail here not too long ago, I understand, because he was trying to make some coins of his own. And so they seem to be kind of watch that. Okay, now, how in the world and why in the world would anybody or any government that ran both a print and press and coined coins, why would they need to borrow any money of any kind anyway?
Yeah, like there's a good phrase that we repeat is, why pay a fee when we can do it for free?
Yeah.
And that's all this comes down to, is why are we paying a third party for something that we could do ourselves?
And, of course, even back when they minted gold coins, you know, under the 1792 Coins Act, which, by the way, they never – that's strange when they passed that. They already passed a year before a law that put central banks into control and controlling the money and creating it. Then they passed – the same Congress passed a law that said, we'll make gold our money, gold and silver, and anybody that can dig gold or silver bullion out of the ground can take it to the United States Mint and stamp it into coinage free of charge, get it stamped into coins free of charge.
Well, we've got a break, Brian, and we'll be right back
here.
With Brian and Dale.
Water full of chemicals, leached all the nutrients, fill the sky up with toxic pollutants.
Sterilizing the third world, cancerous vaccines, cutting down the populace, all in the name of peace.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
I'm so interested about that court case that you had, Byron, where effectively you went into court And basically, we're showing them mathematically that it's impossible for all borrowers to pay their mortgage contract. And because
any individual borrower to pay without forcing somebody else into debt.
It's a fraudulent contract on its face.
But when my cows had calves, I didn't have to steal anybody else's calves to have calves. When
yes,
I had
absolutely.
Kids, I didn't have to have anybody else's kids die so I could have kids. I mean, see, this is how illogical all this is and how corrupt our court system is. Because anybody that really understands this could go into court and prove it, the whole damn thing's a fraud, but you can't because the courts won't let you.
And our entire society, the global society, is based upon that fundamental fraudulent contract.
Absolutely. But then think if you owned all the money in the world all the time and everybody was borrowing it from you, how much power would that give you?
Agreed.
That's the most unlimited power source that I've ever could conceive of. Beats anything else. Beats an atomic bomb.
Yeah,
you got all these guys willingly, and you got the courts all around the world saying, "Well, you got to pay or else."
You're right. I mean, money is half of every exchange, and so it's far-reaching. I wanted to get your what's the best place to for listeners to follow up and buy your books, or how would you direct them to follow up?
Well, we have a website, and I really don't push my book any place except on that that website, and it's called wealthmoney.org. That's a pretty simple thing, wealthmoney.org.
And how much is the book?
I've written four books, but the last one is the one I'm probably going on. It's called Modern Money Secrets, and it's $30. I think it's $29.99 or $95, something like that, on the website. But basically $30, and then shipping and handling, I think, $3 or $4. But I had a guy order 10 of them one time. I ordered one, and then he ordered 9 or 10 more. And he wrote me the nicest letter, and he said he'd read all these books, and he listed them, about 12 books, including The Creature from Jekyll Island and lots of others. And he said mine was clearly the best one of all. It really addressed the issue more than any book he'd ever read.
Well, let me ask you, do you have some time to stay into the next hour? We're just about out
sure.
of time.
No, I'm willing.
Okay. But yeah, that's what's so fundamental is, for instance, G. Edward Griffin's book, he supports the contract fraud of interest.
Absolutely does.
Yeah, Mises, Austrians, they
mm-hmm.
support contract fraud. And they don't even discuss that topic at
nope.
all.
Well, all Griffin's book is a conspiracy theory book. It tells about that. It never gets into the actual facts of how it works. And I personally went through his book and found at least 5 or 6 complete contradictions. Where he'd say one thing and then completely contradict himself 4 or 5 pages later. But,
about the debt being payable, for instance.
Yeah, I'm not on here to knock anybody. I mean, that's not what it's about. We've got to address the truth. But also, you have to have some discernment of what really is truth and some common sense. When you're reading these stuff, and go through. Have we got a break for a commercial?
Yeah, we do.
Well,
we'll
go
be
ahead.
Beginning the hour, Byron Dell.
The next.